Hey, thanks for being here this morning. All eyes on the southern border of the United States over the weekend as Title 42 remains in place, but that didn't stop people from crossing, and there is now a huge influx because there were people waiting for the expiration of Title 42. When that didn't happen, they began to cross anyway. Last time we talked with Jonathan Lyons was when we saw a huge group of people come across and waiting for days in Yuma County, in Yuma, right across the border fence, waiting for federal agents to pick them up. To get an update, he joins us again. Jonathan, what's happening? What do we need to know about what's happening in Yuma?
Well, the Biden red carpet is still laid out, and we're still receiving, about 1,500 people a day. We've got about 4,000 in lockup, and they continue to come. And it's getting a little bit more diverse, and it's really been interesting.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, because we had heard reports that it's a lot of people from Belarus and Russia in the last 24 hours. Are they traveling together and obviously then crossing together?
Yes. So last night we were out on the line, and it was the second time we had been out with Andy Biggs and a couple of other people. And we ran into lots of Russians, lots of people from Belarus. And also, it was really interesting, we had a pretty significant group from Chechnya as well.
And what is happening? Are you seeing people lined up on the road again like there was last time, and people just kind of hanging out waiting for federal agents, or are they being taken into custody pretty quickly?
No, we've had a little bit of a backlog, and with over 4,000 in custody in a facility that's meant for 800, we are pleased that the Border Patrol is taking their time to process these people. They have been able to weed out a few bad actors, people who have been arrested previously for lots of different crimes, weed them out and immediately prosecute them again. And then we just have the normal people, the give-ups. Those are considered non-threats. Although it's been interesting over the last few days, people are getting a little bit more impatient, probably because Title 42 didn't get away. And so we've had a lot of runners that as soon as they cross, take off into the community. And so I observed that last night with all the helicopters being deployed.
When it comes to the overall health of people, we know it's becoming dangerously hot down there. Are you starting to see more heat-related illnesses yet?
So, Mike, year-to-date, we've had 21 deaths from people crossing the desert. I actually did a spot Sunday for Univision just to warn people that coming to the desert is particularly dangerous during the summer and that they should not attempt it. Many people just don't understand that it's 20 to 30 miles and there's no resources, there's no water, and most of them who attempt to come that way succumb to the heat.
How about your 911 system? When we talked last time, you were being strained and your first responders were being strained. Is that happening again or still?
Yes, we had a meeting with first responders last week. We are having an additional meeting today. They're actually going to get me some data on that. It's becoming increasingly difficult, Mike, for them to differentiate the calls that are coming from the border. People who are just looking for a ride versus those that are really having an emergency situation.
Here in Phoenix, we're dealing with a different set of issues, but I know when you're right there on the border when it's happening, what are the people of Yuma saying about this? What are they doing, and how are they feeling about this?
So for the most part, the mayor and I and the governor's been a tremendous partner in this, working with state, local, and federal officials, trying to keep people off the border, have them wait there so that we are not inundated again, and that works to a certain degree, except when we see these high numbers. It affects our NGOs. Met with a hospital last week. They've had over $1 million in unreimbursed costs directly in the delivery room. And I have actually had people call me and say that they were not able to get a bed. And so they went over to Phoenix or San Diego to have their baby. That's happened, I think, 3 or 4 times within the last month. So it affects us. It's, Yuma is a small community. Most everybody drives through it at one point or another on their way to San Diego. We don't have a tremendous amount of resources. I'm proud of the NGOs that have stepped up to assist after the people have been processed. But, it's a little bit of a burden.
What is it like working with local law enforcement and the federal cooperation with ICE and CBP? And how do those agents on the border feel? Are they, like you, overwhelmed and wish the there's a big difference between management and the policies of the bosses and the boots on the ground? Are they in disagreement with what's happening as well?
Yes, they are frustrated. You know, we've got a great port director where if he feels like there's going to be a threat and he actually has intel from the other side, he shuts the port down, but that stops the legal commerce from going back and forth. And then once he does that, and he does it, you know, two or three times a week, if he feels like there's going to be an avalanche or a threat of people rushing the border, he'll shut it down. That gets everybody's attention to where they push back. It actually pushes those people back around to the desert and to some of the other areas where they're crossing. But it seems as if everybody is working together. Law enforcement, specifically DHS, Border Patrol, they want to do national security. They want to keep us safe. And, you know, they've been processing people. I would say that the current administration in D.C. considers it a success, Mike, if they can process people faster, not doing their...
I think we may have lost Jonathan. Oh, there you are. You're back. We lost you for a second.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry. So I'm just coming off the border. Mike went down there to observe what's happening this morning. We still have people coming across, but they should be working on and focusing on national security, not processing people faster. That's not what determines a successful day in the life of Border Patrol.
Yuma Supervisor Jonathan Lines joins us. He is down on the border, coming off the border, has been there last night, again this morning. So let's talk about the surge in resources. We know that Secretary Mayorkas was saying a few days ago, in anticipation of a lot more people crossing, that they were going to surge a lot more resources to border towns like in Yuma. Are you seeing an increase in agents, and is it sufficient?
We have seen a surge. It's not sufficient. If we still have people on the ground that are staying there up to 2 days, Mike, that's not sufficient. A lot of people are coming across, visited with a bunch of women and children last night. They try to prioritize them, but because there are so many different places where they congregate after crossing over the border, it's difficult to get to everybody on a daily basis. So some of the people I visited with last night arrived Saturday.
The other part of this that people have been talking about is that while CBP and ICE are dealing with people and processing them through, what's not being covered is the law enforcement part of this and drug interdiction, where fentanyl and methamphetamine and other drugs are coming through. Are you seeing an increase in that, or is it just hard to tell because they're not able to stop them if they are bringing it in?
So the governor has deployed the Border Strike Force, and they are working with the National Guard and local law enforcement, and they have been able to interdict 400% more of the hard narcotics. And they will have operations out on our southern border while Border Patrol and others are busy on our western border. And it's a distraction, and the cartels know well that if they can surge people on the western border, then we will struggle a little bit more to put resources on the southern border. But good thinking on the governor's part to deploy people and have them actively engaged and keeping the fentanyl off the streets.
Jonathan, I always appreciate the time, and I can hear in your voice each time we talk that this is a very stressful thing to see happening in your community, and I always appreciate you shedding light on it here in Phoenix and talking to the audience about it, because it's so important to all of us.
Thank you, Mike. It's an important issue. Every person that's visited me from across our great nation has said that it's not a border problem, it's not an Arizona problem, it's a national problem, and we need to preserve the security. We need to keep the bad actors out, but more importantly, the drugs, the harmful drugs. 1 in 1,000 were affected last year. An entire stadium worth of family and friends died because of this cheap poison that's coming across our borders.
Yeah, well said. Again, I appreciate the time, and I hope you'll pass that along to the law enforcement on the border, both state and local and federal. And hopefully we get better news from you the next time we talk.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.